That was the worst introduction I've ever had.
Sorry.
I know. It's good to be with you. I thank Tony for the invitation. We've been a couple of times. I know that we taught a marriage class. I don't know how many years ago that was. And then we preached on the Sunday, which was great. Right over there, actually. I remember that building. Now you guys can't fit in there. That's good news.
Amen.
Not because you're all fat, but because, you know, there's just so many of you now. I want to share a song with you right now. And Alex, I don't know where you are. Alex? Can you play that song? Some of you know this, I'm sure. At the end of the great song, isn't it?
Yes.
Nobody. What's that mean? Non-entity. No one. None. Zero. I'm talking to nobodies. I'm a nobody. I grew up in Sault Ste. Marie. You may not even know where that is.
Yeah,
I do. Yeah. It's very good. It's nowhere. You know, I studied mechanical technology. I had a degree. I couldn't go to school if we had to do, and I've been told, be careful what you say here.
Oh,
Okay. What?
Speeches. I couldn't do a speech. It just petrified me. So the thoughts of having 45 years of being a minister and preaching, if you told me that at 15, 16, I would have thought you had some sort of mental issues, because I had no idea what that even meant. And then, you know, of course, I met my wife, who's very spiritual. And before long, I understood a lot more about God than I ever thought I would. And the journey began, you know, and it began, we moved only about 30, 35 times, I don't know. How much?
36.
36? 26, okay. As a preacher normally does, we tend to... I'm going to give you a little indication of what I'm talking about. Michael Joseph Piazza is an American former professional baseball catcher who played 16 years. Now, I'm pulling all of you ball fans in. I hope there's some.
Yes.
Piazza was drafted by the Dodgers in 1988 as a favor from Tommy Lasorda to Piazza's father. It wasn't that he was any good. His dad said, come on. Him and Lasorda knew each other. I think they're related. So they drafted him. He was the last player selected in the draft, and he signed a draft class to play in the major leagues. He made his major league debut in 1992, and the following year was named the National League Rookie of the Year. He was drafted, listen to this, okay, in the 62nd round. 62nd. He was the last guy drafted in that whole, there was 1,390 players, and he was the last one, because nobody thought he could do anything, and he's in the Hall of Fame. Now I'm going to pull you in, Steph. You're not going to like this, but you got to hear it. Dougie Gilmore. Okay, no, you got to stay quiet, okay, bro? Dougie Gilmore, who is, you know, one of the famous Toronto Maple Leafs, he was drafted in the 7th round. Did you know that? As good as he was, as he got older, he was 134th in the draft. In hockey, the 7th round players, they hardly ever make it. Henry Zetterberg, played for Detroit, a defenseman. One of the best defensemen that ever played hockey. He was drafted in the 7th round. And he was 210 in that draft. What am I saying? Don't ever count nobody's out. People that, you know, don't have what we would call the right credentials. None of us, actually, if you remember, most of the ministers that you hear all the time don't have particularly good worldly credentials. But that doesn't mean they don't know how to preach or can share the word or can help people find Jesus.
Yes.
The reality is that we're all nobodies in one way or another. You know, and the reality is that God chose nobody to push His kingdom forward. Let's talk about that, okay?
All right.
The nobodies, the greatest nobody ever. Guess who it was? Jesus. Jesus was the greatest nobody ever. In Luke 2, verse 7, where was he born? Well, she wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger. Yeah. Ladies, how many of you had your kids born in a barn?
Nope.
None of you? Why not? I hope not, too. I'll tell you, if I had to be there and there was no doctor. Oh. John chapter 1, verse 45. Philip found Nathanael and told him, we have found the one Moses wrote about in the law and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth. the son of Joseph, Nazareth? Can anything good come from there? That's a, you know, that's like, can anything good come from Sault Ste. Marie? Same idea, you get it, eh? In Mark chapter 3, Jesus left there and went to his hometown, accompanied by his disciples. When the Sabbath came, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were amazed. Where did this man get these things? What's this wisdom that he has been given? What are these remarkable miracles he is performing? Isn't this the carpenter?
Yes.
Yep. Now, I don't have anything against carpenters. If you're a carpenter, you're essential.
Yes.
But lots of people that are carpenters don't go past being a carpenter. You know, that's their life and that's good. I wish I had the carpenter skills that you do. But the reality is that Jesus was a carpenter. His dad was. So he didn't. He wasn't like Paul, who sat at the feet of Gamaliel and learned, you know, probably one of the greater teachers of the day, and learned things that Gamaliel, as a teacher, was able to impart. As far as we know, Jesus didn't even go to school. Was there school? I don't know. The reality is that Jesus was a nobody. Now, I say that hoping that lightning doesn't strike. I'm not trying to be sacrilegious, but the reality is that if you look at his credentials, there's not much there. In Philippians chapter 2, verses 9 through 11, what happened, though, to this nobody? Well, we understand the story. He starts teaching, he starts preaching, people start following. They respond, you know, the Sadducees, the Pharisees respond out of anger. They want, you know, to put him, get rid of him, because he's a threat to them. And so they crucify him. And that looks like, well, the nobody's gone. Nothing's happened. And that's what everyone thought, even his apostles. They thought, man, we have put all our hope in this guy, and look at what's happened. Nothing positive. We're all running around with, you know, like we don't know what to do. Look at what God says. Philippians chapter 2, verse 9. Therefore God highly exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. A nobody becomes the most important person that ever lived. That is, his name, every knee should bow. God's like, this is my son. I'm so fired up because he was obedient to death. And now he's given the opportunity for all us other nobodies to have a chance of eternal life. The greatest nobody ever? I don't think so. He's not a nobody. He's a somebody.
That's right.
Second point I want to share with you this morning. Jesus, the nobody, started a church filled with nobodies.
Yeah, that's right.
I know you got, what, 18 interns this year? Or
16.
I talked to you interns. I don't know how many are here. You may think, what am I doing here? Why am I here? I don't understand. You know, you may feel a little out of sorts sometimes. You could be the next somebody in the church that can make a huge difference. The church is made up of people like you and I. We don't, you know, Justin Trudeau never, ever calls me. Ever. Not that I'm sure I'd want that, but I, you know.
Yeah, you might be lucky.
Yeah, I might be lucky. You get my point, don't you? I mean, all the world leaders get together. Do you think they're talking about you?
Nope.
They don't even know you live. We drove past Justin's house that he hasn't been able to live in how many years?
Quite a few.
Quite a few. You know, he's not worried about you, this group that meets in the park on Sunday mornings. Who are you?
Yeah.
Nothing. We got nice church buildings, ornate church buildings, where people go and, you know, they feel inspired to worship. But that doesn't mean that what they're doing there is something that God appreciates or understands. I think God's here in the park with us.
Come on.
Heard your singing, and it was beautiful, by the way. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26. Brothers and sisters, think of what you were when you were called, okay? He's talking to you and me.
Yes.
Not many of you were wise.
Yeah.
Some of us are less wise than others. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. God chose the lowly things of the world and the despised and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before him.
Yes.
That's the church.
Yeah, that's it.
Church. It's made up of people that, what? What's he say? Triple whammy here, okay? We're not wise, okay? We're not influential, and we're not strong. Wow, who wants to be a part of a church like that? Right? Well, what? Come on, God. Can't you find at least one? I'm sure there's one super intelligent, influential person in this group. But you think about that. God wasn't put off by who he chose. The apostles. Think about the apostles for a minute. How many of them were influential? Luke was a doctor.
He wasn't an apostle.
He wasn't an apostle, no. You think about this, though. Most of them were either fishermen, farmers, one tax collector. Nobody liked him. Jesus went up on the mountainside and called to him those he wanted. They came to him. He appointed 12. That might be with him and that he might send them out to preach. Here's the group that he's going to build his church on. Okay? He sends them out to preach and to have authority to drive out demons. They were 12 that he appointed. Simon, who he called Peter. James, the son of Zebedee, his brother John, to who he gave the name Boanerges, which means sons of thunder. Probably lost their temper a lot, would be my guess, if they're sons of thunder. Andrew, Philip, Bartholomew, Matthew, Thomas, James, son of Alphaeus, Thaddeus, Simon the Zealot, and, oh, Judas Iscariot. Would you build a church on these guys? Would you think, oh, yeah, let's go out and find these kind of guys, because they're the guys that could be the foundation of a church for centuries. You wouldn't think so.
Not done first.
No. Oh, come on.
Yeah.
Jesus
come
built
on.
A church
filled
with nobodies.
Amen.
In Acts chapter 4, verse 13, these same guys, okay? They're now, they've got the Holy Spirit.
Okay.
They understand.
All right.
They're like really fired up. This is Acts chapter 4, verse 13. When they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men. They're nothing. They're nobody. They were astonished and they took note that these men had been with Jesus.
Amen.
Nobody begets nobody.
Yeah.
That's what happens.
Yeah.
Jesus, the nobody, had such huge influence on other people that they started walking around with the confidence that Jesus had.
Right.
Not because of their education, not because they were good looking, not because they, you know, knew how to play baseball or basketball or hockey or nothing. There was nothing about them that you would necessarily be attracted to other than when they talked, they spoke the word of God.
Amen.
And it changed people's hearts and lives. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 11. Now here's the most educated apostle, Paul. I made a fool of myself that you, but you drove me to it. I ought to have been commended by you, but I'm not in the least inferior to the super apostles. They were attacking his apostleship. Even though I am nothing. How did Paul see himself? The way he was supposed to. There was nothing special about him other than God. Well, other than Jesus appeared to him on a road to Damascus, you know, like, whoa, you get a special visit from Jesus. That's kind of woohoo. Of course, he'd already been out killing Christians, so it took a special kind of letter from God to get him to listen. In Romans chapter 9, verse 25, this is a translation called The Message. He says, I'll call nobodies and make them somebodies. I'll call the unloved and make them beloved. In that place where they yell out, you're nobody, they're calling you God's living children. Think about that, church. You can be a nobody. And sometimes even in the church, many Christians feel alone. You know, they feel isolated maybe, especially with COVID. How that really created a lot of struggles emotionally, mentally. But you listen to that, okay? It's so important that you understand that you can reach out to somebody that can be the greatest preacher of their generation. I'm telling you, if I, you know, I've been preaching 45 years. I don't know how that ever happened. Why? I do understand, because I wanted to. But like, it's not like I'm any good. It's like, yes, you're from Sault Ste. Marie. Nothing that we need to, you know, look into his past to see what kind of education he had. Third point, final point. It's time for all somebodies to make a difference.
Come on.
From this church of nobodies, it's time to find the next somebody. You got to hear this, okay? The church is dying for great preachers. Now, you have a great preacher. God bless you. But do you remember when you didn't a few years back? How tough it was? And now you've got a great preacher. That makes a difference. Guys, there's somebody out there that can do what needs to be done. Somebody who can make a difference. Somebody the world may hate, but God will love.
Amen.
Somebody who can share a message that will change our world and make it a world of love and not hate. A world of light and not darkness. A world of unity and not division. Who will step up? You know, sometimes it's the most casual thing that can have huge impact in a person's life. You're getting groceries. Hey, I go to a great church. I'd like to invite you to come sometime. And you know, how many of you were cold contacted and became a disciple? Anybody? Hands up. One, two, okay, three, four. Cold contact. In other words, you know, I don't know what you're doing, but, you know, someone just invited you and you came.
Yep.
That's okay. But then other of you are kids.
Yep.
Now, I talk to you kids. We have four. We have 8 grandkids. We have a lot of kids. It's a blessing. It's a challenge, though. I know how hard it is for kids to come to church and assimilate the knowledge that their parents seem to have inertly.
Yeah.
Understand what it's like to actually make those decisions on their own, not because their parents are putting pressure on them to do it or they feel some obligation to do it, but because they're learning to love God.
Amen.
For who he is.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you right now, that some of these kids that are in this room right now, you can be somebody that's a huge influence.
Yes.
Not on just your parents, but all of the city of Ottawa.
Yes.
What's the most important city in Canada?
Ottawa.
It's got to be Ottawa.
It has to be.
If I were in Toronto, I'd probably say Toronto, but that. Come on. 70% of people in Ottawa work for the government, a government of some kind, right?
Yeah, that's a lot.
Whatever one's popular.
You think about that, okay? How important that is. What if you, as a child of believing parents, are going to be the next preacher for the Ottawa church? You can be that. Well, I don't know if I want to. Well, I was your age and you asked me, did I want to be a preacher? I would not say that. How to change nobody to somebody. Here's how it works, okay? This is tricky stuff. It's really hard. I'm not sure you'll understand it. Matthew 28, 18 through 20. That Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age. You know that Jesus wouldn't be invited to preach at all of these divinity schools? There's all these divinity schools that all, you know, you can get a degree and become a theologian, you know. Sorry, honey. My wife knows my beliefs about this. What's the most important thing? Well, that you're a great carpenter. Jesus was. And that you love the Lord. Jesus did. That you're obedient. That you have incredible convictions about God. And you share them. And then people hear that. And they change. And then they change. And then others change. And before you know it, you've got this massive group of nobodies that are really somebodies. Philippians chapter 4, verse 11 through 13. I'm not saying this because I'm in need, for I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances. I know what it is to be in need. I know what it is to have plenty. I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all things through Him that gives me strength. Now, we're a Bible-believing church, right?
Amen.
That's a scripture in the Bible. My question is, do you believe it? That you can do all things? All. A-double-L. All. Wait. Okay, then, you know, we start to get, you know, really, well, we've got to think that through. What does that really mean? That means all. Let God determine what it should be or shouldn't be. Pray. Work hard, love people, serve people, and what will happen? The church will grow.
Amen.
All right. Romans 8:31. What shall we say then in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Verse 37 of Romans 8. No, in all these things we're more than conquerors. Through Him who loved us. We're not just conquerors. We're more than conquerors. Oh. Sometimes I feel like a loser, not a conqueror. I got to admit. Especially if you happen to be a Leafs fan.
Yeah.
You know. I did that for you, brother.
That hurts. That hurts, Leo. Even though it's true, it hurts.
Yeah. She's the Leaf fan.
Yeah.
Their marriage has been struggling ever, as soon as hockey season comes. It's a big problem. We are an army of righteous saints fighting to take a broken world and heal it. Has it ever been as broken as it is right now? I don't think so. I'll be 70 soon. I've been around a little while. Been through, you know, the Vietnam War. Well, I didn't really understand the Korean War, but it was just after I was born. The Vietnam War, I mean, what happened in Iraq, what happened, you know, all over the world, there's always wars. It's happening right now in the Ukraine. It happens. The world is broken. How do you fix it? Well, we get all the politicians together and they'll solve it.
Yeah, that works.
That never works. Yeah. What do you got to do? You got to change the hearts of those who hate. I don't care what color your skin is or how much money you make, male or female. I don't care about any of that stuff. You've been created in the image of God. And you deserve a message that brings hope. Amen. Second point, we are a church of nobodies who can find other nobodies and help them find hope, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. That's what the world needs, okay? Those qualities in their life. Third and final point, God didn't allow his son Jesus to die for somebody, but for everybody. Think of that one, okay? God so loved the world that he gave us his one and only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. God wants us to be saved. God turns nobodies into somebodies. Now the song was that you heard was by the Casting Crowns. I don't know if you know that. He says, "Why'd you ever choose me? Sorry. Always been a mystery. In all my life, I've been told I belong at the end of the line. With all the other not-quites, with all the never-get-it-rights, I turned out they're the ones you've been looking for all this time. Because I'm just a nobody. Trying to tell everybody all about somebody who saved my soul.